How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour one.
Hello, America. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number, if you want to be on the program, 877-973-7425. If you text ENGAGE to 33777, you can get tickets to the gathering that'll be in August in Atlanta. We'd love to see you. I just extended an invitation to Jim Banks, the congressman from Indiana, who's running for the Senate there. We've got Dave McCormick invited. Eric Hoved from Wisconsin. Is Hoved? Hove. We've got Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia. Doug Ducey, the former governor of Arizona. Extending an invite to Ron DeSantis today and to Greg Abbott in Texas. Should be a great event coming up in August. Text ENGAGE to 33777. Come hang out with me in public in Atlanta in August. Now, I'm going to begin with a – we'll get to the Columbia protest. There is some breaking news you need to know about as well. Former President Trump has been held in contempt of court in Manhattan. Fine $9,000. Prosecutor said he violated the gag order 10 times. The judge found evidence of 9 violations and charged him $1,000 for a fine, said he would do more if he could, but he couldn't. Not a good day for Donald Trump in court. I feel bad for Trump's lawyer. There is a story out today that Donald Trump is mad at his lawyer. Trump, you should know, has a very, very good lawyer. A very good lawyer. And that lawyer, it was a former federal prosecutor. Donald Trump, though, used to have very aggressive lawyers who would attack. Well, the jury system and all, they've changed over time. They don't like the spectacle as much. And if Trump's lawyer attacks the whole time, he's going to wear out the jury. The jury's going to get mad and take it out on Trump. And the lawyer is very smart. But Donald Trump, you know, thinks that he's smarter than everybody when it comes to this stuff and that he's his best strategist. And he's not a lawyer. He doesn't know. He needs to trust his lawyer here. His lawyer is very good, highly skilled, highly competent, and probably going to win this case if Trump will just get out of his way. We'll see. Now, that's not where I'm going to start. We'll get into all this. The protests have turned violent overnight. We'll get there. But I actually, this is, if I'm willing to acknowledge it, there's a level of I told you so and why I want to start the show with this. It's not really I told you so per se. It's just I found a story. I've been making a point to you guys for quite some time, and there's a story that is perfectly on point for this. I understand out of the gate. I understand, I acknowledge that a number of my friends in Congress and elsewhere very much are opposed to funding Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan without pay-fors, and I tend to agree with that. But I very much want to fund them. And some of them don't want to fund it because they say we can't afford it. Some of them don't want to fund it because they say we should be isolationist. We could come from abroad. My position is we can. The value of the dollar and the like makes it actually easy for us to be able to fund stuff, even with our national debt being the way it is. Because of the exchange rate right now and the American currency rating higher than anyone else, it's actually quite a bargain for us to be able to do this stuff, more so than other countries being able to respond. We should do it in large part because we know where this thing is headed. There are people who scoff at recirculating the notion of an axis of evil, but there is a Eastern axis forming. And there are a series of stories today that show not only is it forming, but it's good for us to fund Ukraine because Ukraine is able to do weapons testing for us that we could otherwise not do. One of my major arguments for why we should support Ukraine is because we're at war, whether we want to believe it or not, with China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. It's largely a Cold War, but even in the Cold War, there were peripheries where the Cold War was hot. Vietnam, for example, Central America, for example, parts of Africa, for example. There were places where it would flare up, and both sides using proxies to fight each other. One of the benefits of Ukraine is that we're seeing that many of our weapon systems that are not the bleeding edge weapon systems, they're the current technology that we're moving past, that those weapon systems well outperform the bleeding edge of the Russian, Chinese, North Korean, and Iranian technology. However, we're discovering some aren't. A new ground-launched version of an air-to-ground weapon developed for Ukraine on a rapid timeline failed to hit targets in part because of Russian electromagnetic warfare, Bill LaPlante, the Pentagon's acquisitions chief, said in an event held by the think tank CSIS. LaPlante suggested that Ukraine may no longer be interested in the weapon. When you send something to people in the fight of their lives that just doesn't work, they'll try it three times and they'll just throw it aside, said LaPlante. The weapon LaPlante is referring to is very likely the ground-launched small-diameter bomb, based on his description, according to Brian Clark, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. A Boeing spokesperson did not confirm that LaPlante was referring to the ground-launched small-diameter bomb, but said the company's working closely with the Defense Department on spiral capability improvements to the ground-launched system. Spiral capability improvements refers to an iterative software development process. The weapon boasts a range of 90 miles, double the range of the guided multiple-launch rocket system missiles Ukraine previously used to wreak havoc on Russia's logistics centers. Funding for the weapon was approved in February 2023. Ukraine reportedly used the weapon by February 2024. The weapon relies on GPS to navigate to its targets. It also has an inertial navigation system, which navigates to a target by estimating its position through the use of accelerometers and other devices. But it's not the first GPS-guided weapon to fall afoul of Russian electronic warfare. In congressional testimony in March, Hudson Institute senior fellow Daniel Pat said the targeting system for the GPS-guided Excalibur round dropped from 70% effectiveness to 6% effectiveness over a matter of a few months as new electronic warfare mechanisms came out in Ukraine. Pat cited the work of Jack Walling, an expert at think tank RUSI who's traveled to Ukraine multiple times and interviewed the commanders. Russian electronic warfare attacks have also directed these missiles off course, CNN reported last spring. The missiles are similarly guided by a GPS. Russia has successfully used electronic warfare against these GPS-guided joint direct attack munitions, JDAMs, which are retrofitted aerial bombs. Russian electronic warfare on the U.S.'s most precise capabilities is a challenge, the commander of the chief U.S. aid coordinating group told an audience in December. GPS spoofers work by sending false location data to GPS navigation devices. Because GPS signals are weak, a stronger false signal can be sent to override the correct inputs. This is exactly what I'm talking about. What we have seen with both the Israeli strikes into Iran, Iraq, and Syria, and Ukrainian strikes into Russia is that we are able to overcome the bleeding edge of the Russian, Chinese, Iranian, North Korean missile defense systems and their countermeasures for penetration of their airspace. But what we're seeing with some of our cutting-edge technology is the Russians are able through the development of electronic warfare to overcome them. Everything is theory until the war breaks out. The war is broken out in Ukraine. We're able to field test and allow the Ukrainians to use the weapons to kill the Russians instead of us having to do it because they've invaded NATO. Now, there's further development here that's also very important for you to understand. The debris from a missile that landed in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv on January 2nd has been identified as a North Korean Hwasong-11 series ballistic missile, a United Nations sanctions monitor told a Security Council committee in a report. In the 32-page report, the UN sanctions monitors concluded that debris recovered from a missile that landed in Kharkiv, Ukraine on the 2nd of January derived from a North Korean Hwasong-11 series missile and is in violation of the arms embargo on North Korea. The Russians have been using North Korean weapons despite having also agreed to the arms embargo on North Korea. On top of that, The Economist has a report that the Russian arms industry is being fueled by the Chinese, the North Koreans, and the Iranians. And on top of all of that, the Houthi movement in Ukraine has been digging in for the long term. Literally, the armed group, which controls much of the country, has been harassing shipping in the Red Sea, has undertaken a massive expansion of underground military facilities funded by Iran and China. There are a number of people in this country on the right who don't want to make eye contact with what's happening. Over the last month, there have been an increasingly rapid number of meetings between the Belarusians, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, and the North Koreans. There is clearly an Eastern Axis developing. They are sharing armaments, technology, and data. They have realized over the last number of months that our weapon systems, our current weapon systems, not even our next generation weapon systems, Ukrainians aren't getting the next generation, they're getting the current generation. They are realizing that our current generations of weapon systems are superior to their next generation systems, and yet they have, through electronic warfare, been able to undermine some of our cutting edge weapon systems. Why do they care? Because clearly they are getting ready to leverage their axis against the Western powers. Whether it's an invasion of Taiwan or something larger than that, they're clearly maneuvering now. There are those who say we can't fund it. I'm worried about our finances. I am. But I don't believe we can afford to sit on the sidelines here because we're allowing the Ukrainians to do damage to the Russians so that we're not having to. And contrary to the propaganda campaigns being waged on social media by Russian sympathizers, the Ukrainians are actually putting points on the board for us. They've wiped out a lot of Russian military industrial capacity. They've been able to retake land from the Russians, though the Russians gained some in the last few weeks. The Ukrainians have been able to take back some key strongholds very quickly once they got more arms from us. The Ukrainians have been able to put a dent in Russian oil exports that have actually hurt the Russians' ability to fund their military operations and fuel their military operations. This is a bigger picture. This is a global picture. And we are so used to in this country thinking of ourselves, and there's such a tendency on the right to be isolationist. All of these stories tie together to show there is an Eastern Axis growing before our eyes. Some people don't want to see it, and some people just want to let them have it. If you surrender to this Eastern Axis, your cost of living is going to go up dramatically. There's a story I want to spend much more time with it later, but right now the U.S. dollar is pricier than every other currency on the market, including the Chinese and the Japanese currencies. That means that our ability to go abroad is way cheaper than others' ability to come here. It means that while there is a trade deficit because our goods are more expensive than their goods, it means that they have to exchange money into American dollars to do business on the world stage. If we get off the world stage and the Chinese reign supreme, the exchange rate benefits them, not us. We have a massive debt. It is our single greatest national security weakness. The funding we've given to the Ukrainians, the Israelis, and the Taiwanese amounts to about 1.25% of that budget. Our funding to these countries is not the problem. In fact, we've spent more in the Biden administration forgiving people's student loan debts than we have on these countries combined, including all of the previous allocations to Ukraine. We have problems. Helping our allies isn't part of that problem. We need to help our allies because before our very eyes, an Eastern Axis is growing that wants to take us out. Defeat is our choice. We do not have to choose defeat. But defeat is unfortunately a choice a lot of people want to make because they think it'd be a whole lot easier to just pull everything off the board and come back home. And they don't have the imagination to understand how awful that would be for us around the world if we did.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you wish to be on the phone number, I wish to be on the phone. Happy to have you with me. You just got to be patient with me, those of you standing by. Karen Bass is the mayor of Los Angeles. Karen Bass was on MSNBC talking about veterans. I want you to listen to part of this, and this has a lot to do with the homeless issue.
Mayor Bass, Los Angeles has had a long-running problem with homelessness and people on the street at Skid Row and elsewhere, so this certainly didn't start with your administration, but you're in the hot seat now. What sort of measurable progress have you made, can you make, in the foreseeable future to get people off the street and to get them housed?
Well, first of all, we absolutely have to have a comprehensive solution because we can get people off the street and then more come on the street. But we have to develop a system of long-term interim housing while we are building. And we're doing exactly that. So I've signed executive directives that fast-track building. You know, Los Angeles over the years has become extremely expensive to live in. So we have to address the supply of housing. We have to have a place for people to go while housing is being built, and the wraparound services that Mayor Holt talked about. If we do not address this in a comprehensive manner, we're not going to succeed. And just to be clear, in Los Angeles, we're talking about in the city, we're talking about 46,000 people who are unhoused. And so we can make a measurable difference, but we have to operate from several different perspectives. And that's why we're here in D.C. right now. We're trying to address a problem with veterans being unhoused. Veterans should not have to choose between their benefits and housing. So that's the specific issue that...
You know, she's right on veterans. But maybe if we didn't force them into the VA and just let them go to any doctor... We would be starting to do something good for veterans, which we're not doing that. We're using them as political pawns. Now, I don't want you to be a pawn of your technology failures. I want you to have good technology, and you can have good technology if you go to Vision Computers. For $179 a year per computer, Vision Computers can be your tech support solution. So if you're a small business, you don't have an IT department, you don't have the budget and resources to hire an IT department, well, Vision Computers can be your IT department, and all your employees, each computer, you get a phone number, they call it 15 seconds or less, they get the answer to what they need with their computer. So your employees can be proficient at their job and not proficient at computer technology. 404 Compute's the number. 404 Compute, any one of you nationwide can use Vision Computers. They'll also build you computers. They'll save you money. You'll get a great computer in the process. VisionComputers.com or 404 Compute. If you call them at 404 Compute, tell them Eric sent you, you'll get an even better deal. They can build your computers and the tech support comes with it. Or if you don't have a computer for Vision, they'll be your tech support for just $179 a year. It's a great deal. 404 Compute. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Let's go to David. Welcome to the show, David. Calling from Jacksonville. How are you down there?
I'm doing really good, but I almost forgot what I told your call screener, but I totally changed my mind. You know, this V8 thing, seriously, the V8 thing is probably something that impacts, you know, a substantial number of homeless people and veterans that just does not seem to get it right. And I'm just going to lay out a little suggestion. You've probably heard of this. There's a thing called accountable care organizations that the government uses to, you know, to contract for health care with providers, being doctors and hospitals, and in a form of network, and they're on the hook for the care for these for whatever patient group they're working with. And I think it would be outstanding to take on a test basis places like Muskogee County, Georgia, which is Fort Moore now, or Fort what used to be Fort Benning. Mm-hmm. And take a place like Escambia County, Florida, which is Pensacola, Navy, USA, and maybe even Tampa, and set up pilot projects in addition to the current situation so you can measure and form ACOs just to take care of veterans. And you have to have a high concentration to make it worth its while. And what happens with an ACO, like I said, the providers are at risk, you know, to provide health care at a certain cost, but also with substantial quality indicators. So they've got to provide high-quality care at a price agreed to. And they're on the hook for the risk of that. And they seem to work in a lot of cases. And
I'm glad you bring up this issue. And by the way, I got to apologize to you to get you all off the trail. I know you wanted to talk about the dysfunction in Congress and – everyone else abroad seeing it, knowing they can play us. But issue. It was kind of I saw that clip with Karen Bass talking about we got so many veterans on the streets. And, you know, my initial thought was one of the reasons we got some of these problems with veterans is because we force them to use the VA and it's garbage. And Democrats don't want to fire a bunch of people from a government employment protection scheme and allow veterans to use good doctors and good hospitals wherever they are instead of having to travel. But the number of friends I have who are veterans who have horror stories about the VA is absurd. Right. In fact, my wife and I have a friend who is a Marine who has health problems, who got COVID, who got an appointment at the VA, had to drive 55 minutes to get there. And when he got there, they said, oh, your appointment is in Savannah. Which was another 2.5 hour drive from where he was. And he's never been to the locations of Venice. Someone just screwed it up. And this happens all the time.
Well, that's why a pilot program in a place that has a good population of veterans, and I'm just guessing that a lot of veterans, you know, located either around Fort Benning or Savannah for the other, you know, or in Tampa, because I know there's a lot in Tampa, and I assume there's a lot in the Escambia County, Pensacola area. And you'd run that in parallel with your current process. Yeah, you're going to, you know, and then you measure it, and then you've got something to go back to Congress with and say, look, we've run these four pilot projects or two or whatever, and, you know, our goals were this, and here's what happened. You know, assuming you beat the cost, you shut the cost down, so to speak, or inflation, but more importantly, you have a pathway to care for veterans. You know, many who are in bad shape, and a lot of veterans make up a significant part of the homeless, as I understand it. And,
that's not a bad idea. We got to find something because what we're doing and what we're allowing, frankly, people in Washington to do to justify the existence of the VA and claim that, oh, you can't be attacking these people. They're helping veterans. They're not really helping veterans. I know a lot of veterans. I don't know any of them who like the VA. I don't know any of them who have a good setup. And many of them get out, they're able to find jobs where they can get private health care benefits, and they don't have to use the VA anymore, and their lives improve. It is absurd to me that we as a nation have not set on a policy that says if you're a veteran, you go to any doctor you want to go to, and we're going to cover the cost. We're not going to pigeonhole you in the VA system with all of its problems. You go pick your doctor, and we're going to make sure you get good health care. That seems like what you would want for the doctors. And the Democrats, oh, we're going to shut down, the Republicans are going to shut down the VA and all our veterans are going to be hurt. No, they will literally be helped. I think that Americans who support the VA are too ignorant to understand the problems with the VA, and Republicans should spend a lot of time educating them. There is we should have no sacred cow. And frankly, when we're in a nation in this world of hurt financially, shutting down the VA and just allowing our veterans to use the private health care systems of America would probably save us a lot of money. Even if the costs went up with health care, we'd be saving all the infrastructure and everything else. It's absolutely absurd, that we would do otherwise. Now, back to the phones, 877-973-7425. James, also in Jacksonville, welcome. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Good.
So, yeah, your screener's screaming pretty good there. I'm actually glad you did that because I like to be challenged. But let me tell you, at first...
Hang on, James. Let's just be honest here. A little bit of a jerk, isn't he?
No, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Tell him that I got nothing against him. I'm a first Gulf War vet, okay? And my mindset is when we put a military operation together, when we did that against Iraq, okay, the first Gulf War, we had a plan. We had a plan, an exit plan. We liberated a country, Kuwait. We had coalition. Well, that means boots on the ground. Eric. Okay, I got a question for you. Which we don't really know. I understand why Ukraine is where they're at. I totally get it. I do not agree that they are going to benefit from a war of attrition at the current KIA and WIA, which is wounded in action rates, with the current long range. Artillery that Russia is, they're going to be ground down to meat if they continue this battle. Here's the deal. Okay, so let's just talk about geography here. This is information everybody knows. Crimea is the only port of entry that Ukraine has on the sea, in the ocean. Okay, Russia has owned that region since years. When I was there, we were in a Cold War, right? Sort of. We're playing these war games with Russia here, all over the Med and the Black Sea and here and there. Okay. There is no way that I can agree to send military hardware to Ukraine just to test the weapon systems. Man, it's just not good enough.
What about you mentioned Crimea, but what about Odessa?
Yes. Okay. Right now, the Russians are doing what they want to do. Oh, okay. The West and some other countries are going to continue sending weapons. Okay. Keep sending them. We'll just keep taking another town.
Wait a second, though. You're moving the goalposts on me here because you said Crimea was the only port that's controlled by the Russians. I actually think Ukraine needs to give up Crimea and have said so. But actually, the port of Odessa is a bigger port than the port in Crimea, and Odessa is controlled by the Ukrainians, and the Russians haven't been able to shut it down.
Eric, please do not try to compare the Russian Navy with a Ukrainian Navy.
I'm not comparing the Russian Navy with the Ukrainian Navy, although you got to at least be able to hang on, James. Don't compare the two. But the minor Ukrainian Navy that's virtually non-existent and also has drones has been able to keep the Russians out of Odessa and keep that port open for trade, despite the Russians' best efforts to blow it out of existence. So we've been able to.
How do we know that's not by design for Russia? Russia is not there to destroy the country, Eric. They're there to Vladimir Putin and Russia's goal are to accomplish a special military operation.
No. That's Russian propaganda there, James. That's Russian propaganda. The Russians have been waging a ruthless annihilation campaign, bombing cities. In fact, they bombed the snot out of Odessa, trying to invade Odessa, and the Ukrainians were able to stop them from getting into Odessa and keep the port open.
Okay, but what I'm saying is the end game, man. Where's the end game here? Are we going to grind down the Ukrainian population to zero? Because... if you compare
that's what the Russians have been trying to do, and they haven't been able to do it.
Hey, look, here's the bottom. Here's what I think. Really, seriously, let's put all the baloney aside. Unless there are NATO boots, unless there are foreign boots on the ground in Ukraine, Dude, they're getting ground down, dude. I mean, well, seriously,
okay, so
ground down.
In 2 years, this has been going on. The Russians have thrown all of their professional forces at the Ukrainians, have not been able to grind them down. They're now using troops they pulled out of
prison.
How do
we know that? We can't get the correct information from Ukraine or Russia. Ukraine is a secret. It's all secret. Nobody knows what the casualty rates are.
We actually have really good casualty rates because we have great intelligence in Ukraine and we have great intelligence in Russia. And we know from the Russia. Hang on a second. Hang on before you move the goalposts again, James. Before you move the goalposts again.
The imagery is taking that's exploding in Ukraine is all Russian, only Russian soldiers.
We'll say that again.
All that satellite imagery of those cemeteries that are filling by the thousands in Ukraine, that's all just Russian soldiers that are buried.
No, dude, that goes to directly contradict your point. We found the mass graves of the Ukrainians. You've been saying the Russians are going to grind them to a pulp. They've been trying for 2 years. Those are Ukrainian bodies in the mass graves, and yet we've still got a bunch of Ukrainians.
Hang on a second.
James, so you say that the Russians are going to grind them to a pulp, and that the Ukrainians can't withstand them. They've withstood them for 2 years. We've discovered the mass graves you yourself acknowledged existed and said, do you really think those are Russians? No, they are Ukrainians. The Russians weren't able to ground them to a halt. The Russians weren't able to ground them to a pulp. For 2 years, the non-Ukraine Navy, because as you said, James, they don't have a big Navy. The Ukrainians were still able to keep the port of Odessa open and functioning despite the Russians trying to level the city because they had our weapons. James, listen, I had to let you go there because you can't stop talking to let me make my point to prove people how wrong you are. But at the same time, you're very strident in your opinion, and you just had to keep moving the goalposts because you knew you couldn't win the argument. I don't know where you're getting your information from, but the United States actually has really good intelligence in Ukraine. We've actually come out and inflated the Ukrainian casualty totals. We know more of them have died than what they said because we've told people. But we also know the Russians have gotten people out of their prisons. Why? Because we have people in Russia who've reported it. We've captured their soldiers, they've told us. The one thing you can't deny is that we have been able to hold the Russians back and kill their military through Ukraine, and also the Ukrainians have scored maximum damage on the Russians. Have you not paid attention to the news? And you can say you just don't believe it, but at some point, your choosing not to believe is a belief in itself to deny reality. It's like the people who say they're just asking questions. They're not really just asking questions. It's they already know something that's not true, and they want to put up a shield between them and the truth. The fact of the matter is for 2 years, the Russians have thrown everything at the Ukrainians, and with our help, we've ground down the Russian military capacity. Ukraine has not been ground down, as you said they would be. Funny how Russia hasn't been able to do it for 2 years. And also, you're directly contradicting yourself. The Russians want to ground down Ukraine, but also it's a special military operation where they don't want to level the cities that they're leveling. Man, you're making no sense here. This is like progressivism on the right. It's like you're a trans conservative. You identify as a conservative, but you're a progressive using all the pro-Russia talking points. That is directly contradictory. You literally have contradicted every point you've made within a sentence of each other just to say you don't want to support Ukraine. It's fine to say you don't want to support Ukraine, but don't keep contradicting yourself and moving goalposts around and saying, well, the Russians are going to grind them to a ground when they haven't for 2 years. But actually, the Russians don't want to grind them to a ground because they want to do a special military operation. But actually, they've wiped out all the ports, except they haven't been able to wipe out the Odessa port. But actually, Ukraine doesn't have a navy, so how could they stop them? So therefore, the Russians must want to do it. Never mind the Russians throwing everything at Odessa to try to ground. I mean, dude, if you just don't want to support Ukraine, say you don't want to support Ukraine. You don't have to make stuff up along the way or get it from Russian propaganda sources, which a lot of this sounds like. Come on, man, do better. 10 regional banks have had their credit downgraded. They're going to keep racking up profits. They're going to get a great bailout. In fact, that bank in Philadelphia has just been bailed out. My friends at Swiss America have been sounding the alarm about the secret war on cash. It's an all-out on our freedoms with soaring interest rates, with banks teetering on collapse. Swiss America can educate you on ways to protect your hard-earned assets now. All you have to do is read their report, The Secret War on Cash, your copy, completely free, completely free. All you have to do is call or text 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. The All-Out War on Cash includes digital forms of currency. You've seen this, haven't you, where corporations tell you got to use credit card, they're not going to accept cash. It's perfectly legal for them to do. And then the government can see what you're doing and the corporation can say, no, we don't want you to buy this thing. We're not going to let you use cash and we're not going to let you buy this thing with your credit card. It's a secret war on cash. All you have to do, mention my name, Eric Erickson, when you call or text 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply. Now, before I hit the button, I just want to reiterate, when you say they've wiped out every port, except they haven't wiped out Odessa, and you move the goalpost to they're going to crush everybody, except they haven't crushed everybody, so then you move the goalpost to, well, it's just a special military operation, but they could if they really wanted to. You've moved the goalpost so much you've boxed yourself in. That's not the way to win the argument. Jim says, I don't think I've ever heard you get worked up that much with a caller before. I was like, well, the problem is it's my show and he wouldn't let me talk. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan, wherever you are nationwide. If you're buying a building, buying a franchise, you need $250,000 or more, let First Liberty see if they can help you. They make their own decisions. FirstLibertyGA.com. Get their contact info from them there. FirstLibertyGA.com. All right, Ray in Orlando, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon. First-time caller. Very interesting topics you're touching today, and I'm glad you touched one that is on my heart regarding veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I am a retired veteran, 25 years. I joined at the age of 17 to the program called ROTC when I was in college.
God bless
you. I was able to go through the whole process, got commissioned, became an officer after I was enlisted in the reserves, went to the process of going to several places and, of course, deployments and all that. And after I retired, I got discovered that I got some issues in regards to the VA system, just to let you know. Used to
got
be
about a minute here. Back,
okay. It was a card being issued to veterans in the past. Then you could go to a private place and take care of business. But now that card disappeared. And basically on my talks to people within the Veteran Administration, it's just in the turnaround of doctors within the VA to take care of the veterans. Mm-hmm. It's not there. They don't have a pool for replacements. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the private sector, you have to go through the bureaucratic process of you need to apply to this, you need to wait for this, and by the time you get the okay, it's too late. You're probably already in the cemetery.
Good grief. It's mind-numbing to me. I mean, this seems so easy to fix, but if we did, there'd be a lot of unemployed bureaucrats, and God forbid we do that.
And I understand. That's why I'm one of those outspoken individuals over here in the Orlando area. I try to help my fellow veterans, regardless the branch. And I don't see difference on that, to guide them to where to go, who to talk to. And so they take care of the matters.
Good.
Because it's unfortunate, because of the bureaucratic system, they say, no, we're helping. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're just putting a blanket on top of something that it doesn't deserve.
Right. Look, I got to let you go there. That's well said. I'll give you the last word. Thank you very much for your service. When we come back, the protests, the student protests, they've turned violent nationwide. I've got the latest for you. Smashed windows at Columbia, among other things. Thought this was an insurrection. Oh, wait, no, Republicans weren't involved.